It has come to my attention that the Keys have made themselves known once more, and you two seem to be in some sort of race to collect them.
Well,
Fear not. I mean to assist you in this venture. The power of Anok must not fall into the wrong hands. Your adversary, Leah, means to do great harm.
How do you know Leah?
I have been most fortunate in this life. I have acquired many friends who keep me informed of people of interest. Leah was born in Rakos to a high-born family of very good standing. Her childhood was spent playing in great parks and wealthy country estates. This idyllic upbringing was cut short, unfortunately, after the Highborn's ancient enemy invaded.
The Druge.
The very same. Her family were murdered or enslaved. Her home burnt and looted. Now, she is driven solely by vengeance. If she gets the final piece of the key, and then gains the power of Anok, then I fear what she will then be capable of. That is why I need you.
Well, vengeance is a false virtue for good reason. What do you suggest?
I suggest we team up. A partnership, if you will. You will have all the support I can offer. Money, equipment, transportation, information. Whatever you need. Just stop Leah by any means.
We are not assassins.
And I hope it won't come to that. Get the last piece of the key and deliver it to me. I will keep it safe and out of the hands of anyone who wishes to complete it. In return, I will grant you anything your heart desires.
Anything?
Anything. Take this ring and wear it at all times.
Yeah, the emblem is a scorpion.
Yes. My friends will identify themselves with the same insignia. They will assist you in any way that they can. Now, if we have an agreement, I have a ship waiting for you at my private moorings. Derek will go with you for your security.
Yeah. Lord Reinhardt, thank you for your help. We'll try not to disappoint you.
Okay, welcome back. So this is Saturday of E2 2019.
It's a big day.
This is a huge day, and it kicks off right away with the battle.
Yeah, so we had breakfast. Yeah, as per now, which is nice, and then headed out to battle. And who are we fighting?
We were fighting against the Grendel. We're fighting against the Jotun.
Of course it was.
Fighting against the Jotun in Leafafan, which is this territory where the Valorn is, but the Jotun forces, and Jotun are kind of like orcs, and Valorn
it's where
like
my business zombies. Was. So it's like I have... That's one of the only places that Navarre really own, right?
Yeah. We had actually a bunch of places, but I think that's one of our kind of border places, which is under threat.
It's always under threat with the Valorn in the forest.
And then the Jotun.
Now the Jotun showed up.
Yeah. And the Jotun are the orcs that we, in our backstory as Ashborn, were kind of like this military unit operating against outside the Empire in a place called Hordland, which is like a region that neighbours the Afrivan. It's kind of as interesting.
So we've had all sorts of dealings with the Jotun for years, I see, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is our main foe. We've fought them for years. It's kind of like... And I like fighting the Jotun anyway. Yeah. I love playing the Jotun as well. Like
They're a really fun army to play, for sure.
They're kind of honourable. Yeah. And they're kind of like... So they don't execute... They have, like, a rule, which is so they're not allowed to execute Imperial citizens apart from the Navarre.
Yeah, and that's because we execute so many of them.
Yeah. there's no love between Navarre. They call us, what is it, Imperial Druge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I love the fact that that's a Navarre thing. And you'll see people who are, you know, actively executing the Jotun. And that's brilliant.
Let's get into it, right? So we all tool up.
Yeah.
All of us go. Sinwig from the Boar's Head comes along, right?
It's his first battle, I think, at Empire.
Yeah, he's got no armor. He's got like a club or something.
He's got like a magic staff.
Dude. Oh, he's a magic staff.
Yeah, I think he can shatter things and all kinds of crazy stuff. Right. Yeah, he's real business.
Right. So, it's really fun heading out with him. All heading out for this big fight, right?
Yeah.
So, we go through the gate. Now, I can't remember. Did we fight anyone on the way to the actual other than the next, like the border gateway through to the forest?
I don't think so. I think it was completely clear when we just walked through.
I think it was too.
I mean, at that night, this is such a big battle and so important.
And so much happened, right?
Yeah.
But also, like, a lot of the kind of like the problem that we have with storytelling afterwards is because you're pumping full of adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much going on, right? It's like it's an intense thing.
You're trying to soak it all in, but ultimately what stands out is the emotions of it.
You're going to battle as your character, right? Yeah. This is the big one. There's a lot can go wrong. A lot can go really well. It's a really big experience, right?
Yeah.
Thousands of people on the field, all going at it, right?
Yeah.
So, start of the battle. What, we head across the big field
and go then through the gate.
And then we go through the gate into the forested area, right?
Right.
The forested area, if you think of it, like there's brush all over the place and trees. So it basically creates these corridors.
Yeah, definitely. Right? Yeah, definitely.
So think of it more like there's entwining corridors of different ways that people can approach each other just through the way that the ground is.
Yeah,
is,
and also the refs are pretty good at like helping direct people around these kind of potentially troublesome areas. And I think
also
like,
players are pretty good as well, like the yell hole or whatever.
I mean, I think that the thing is the natural barriers are kind of substantial enough that you are encouraged down these paths. But sometimes the push of battle can...
It feels very, I don't know whether it's just because the people trampling up and down in these areas, but they look, after not very long amount of time, they look like actual pathways going through stuff because people, just the leg work on it.
Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic. The main objective of this mission is to basically take out three kind of particular orcs that are going to be part of this Jotun force. And there's a war leader that's in the fort. I think there's like another war leader that's basically outside, like a military leader.
There's one
leader.
In red.
Yeah, that's that.
And there's
person.
One in white.
And so the one in white is the ritualist mage. He's going to be casting some kind of ritual that we bad for the region. I can't remember exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. And that was the target of the Navarchers. So I was with the Navarchers and there was a big group of us. And it was really cool this time round. So there's people who I know visually who are part of the group.
Yeah.
But there are also, you know, new people who are joining us. And we had like, I think it was like 12 Navarchers heading out. It was so cool, like to actually be like a big block archery unit. And we even had people who were designated to sort of keep an eye on us. So we had like Robert with his shield and some other guys who were part of the unit with spears and stuff. It was really cool because it just made it feel like we were actually part of the military, right? Mm-hmm. We weren't just somebody, as I say, playing a fairly... And I think I've said this before in previous...
So like a solo events, game,
like
right?
a solo game being an archer sometimes. But yeah, now we're kind of much more integrated into the military. It was great. And like, basically, one of the things is the Jotun don't use bows. So I've got quite a few arrows, but the problem is once you start firing them, and if you're firing them at distance, at particular targets that may be behind lines, you're not going to get those arrows back, so you have to watch your ammo. So we were all trying to conserve our ammo until we took this target down. And so we're pushing through the gate. I should take a step back. We're pushing through the gate and we're advancing towards all of these different objectives.
Mm-hmm.
And Navarre kind of joined the main push, I think, that was basically after the targets that weren't in the fort but were out on the field. So the ritualist and the other target. And it was just like constant skirmishes against these quite strong forces of Jotun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys were on the front line and it looked tough at times.
It was, I would say I want to go back one thing.
Yeah.
Remember I said about training the new recruits?
Yeah.
The lady came up to me just before we left the battle and said to me, do you want some potions?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a really nice thing. I was like, no, I'm fine. I've got some because you gave me a couple of bits. I was like, no, I'm fine. Thank you. But it was like a really nice gesture that like new players, she thought I was a new player. So I was like, oh no, thank you very much. But it was like really nice to kind of that secular knowing people and helping each other out thing. Anyway, that's cool.
It was really cool.
The actual battle itself was like each individual little corridor had its own little battle.
Yeah.
Right? And the whole thing was a giant war.
And it
was
some like, corridors are sort of bigger than others.
Some of them were really having an easy time. Some of them were stalemates. Some of them were like cakewalks for our forces, right? And it's happening all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, it's everywhere. And it's like, sometimes there's like people like drawn for your line, so you charge them, but then you're out of line because there's no one to support you in this new flank, you know? It's
really interesting to be playing an archer in that situation, because you're behind the line and you have a view of all of the different lines and movements of all the different bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we were trying to pick out this one target, but it gave you a kind of a real insight into the where was getting pressurized, you know, where was advancing, and sometimes advancing without support of other units is potentially risky as well.
It happened a lot,
you know, but it was it was fantastic. Like, it looked amazing as a spectacle. But there was a bit where we saw the target and we were sort of occasionally taking shots at it, and then obviously the opposing force realized what we were trying to do, because being archers, people in light armor like this mage was, will go down with one hit if we manage to get them at range.
Mm-hmm.
So they started sort of forming a little shield walls around this target. And there was a bit where basically me and Kaylee kind of had an opportunity to target this archer a distance. So this orc we're trying to take out a distance. So we were both like, right, we're just going to try, like we did against the Herald in Brickelliend, a long range shot. And it was crazy, like, that shot I pulled off was, like, really fluky and everything. But, I mean, I'm an okay shot.
Give yourself
shot.
Some credit, yeah. I mean, I'm an you're okay shot, game, right?
But, yeah. But, like, I actually felt, as I was going to take this shot, that I was going to hit. And this is so weird. Like, I've never, like, felt, like, cocky taking a shot before.
Right.
In a way. But it's because, like, it felt like... Because everybody had been so positive and given me such a rewarding experience, like, I actually felt, like, empowered by it. You know,
the hero of Brickelliend.
It was fantastic. And basically, I take this shot, and we both take this shot. And it was, I got actually quite close. I think we both did, but I missed. But it was just really interesting as, like, you know, everyone's giving you so much positive energy. But I actually believed in myself, but you missed. You know? But then I missed. But, like, but that was what kind of made it all the more funny.
Life is cruel.
It made me laugh, right? I was like, yeah, I you know, but I can do it. It's cool. It was cool.
That's yeah, nice.
So we, but anyway, so ultimately we heard that Sparrow managed to pull off an awesome shot, I heard, actually, and took the target out. So we'd accomplished our objective. And I heard that the person in the fort was down, and so we'd accomplished that objective.
Yeah, I heard that. Done.
But what I never heard about was the other target that we're after.
There's one in red that I saw a few times.
Yeah.
So close, but so far. Like, basically, the whole battle... I started doing, like, sneaky shit.
Mm.
So I'd find a route that wasn't defended, threaten it a little bit, they'd retreat, and that gives you, like, back doors on top of
you
people.
Were moving with little units, weren't you?
Little, like, that was my whole battle, with these little, like, aggressive little units. And
were you
we would
commanding
just
those
go
units? Or?
I was yelling shit. I wouldn't say commanding. Yeah. I mean, I was, like, trying to... Because you don't want to do shit on your own sometimes, so it's like... And also, sometimes when you get the drop on someone, you want a bunch of people and you have to be quiet, then sneak up and then jack in the box and, like, absolutely wreck them.
Yeah.
So we were doing all of that and it was great. Like, Darius was there fighting his way through and he saw me do a couple of bits and he went, oh, I saw you do that shit, that was good. And I was like, yeah. And it was like, praise from Darius. Big D.
So good.
Bam.
And there's, like, there's this bit and I've heard at this point that we've accomplished all of our objectives, but we're still fighting.
Hmm.
And I think this the message hadn't got round that we had accomplished everything which we should withdraw.
No, there was a huge body of Navarre forces extended way too far out, right? Like, way and we too were far. Basically what happened was we'd absolutely wrecked this whole wave, right? Yeah. Then while we're all pushing on in this big aggressive move, everyone respawned.
Yeah.
And the entire Jotun army
Yeah,
come back us. When and there was already a retreat happening.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I kept getting forward. No, pull back. We're leaving. To forward, need to do this. And it was like that, like it was like that for a while, right?
Yeah.
And we did that thing where Kjartan was cut off, who's like the
Well, this is what I was gonna get to. So this moment, okay, we're basically getting pushed on this line and there's this very, very thin path that basically lets you cut behind that line and basically get into the flank of it. And Kjartan and a few others had spotted this hole and were going to push through it. Now, simultaneously, I wasn't sure if you were aware of this, But you and the unit that you were with on this other side of this kind of medium bit of wood that's between us were there, and you were kind of crouching down, ready to do a massive swing round and hit them from the back.
Yeah, we had this perfect, like, what appeared from where we were standing, this perfect, like, little run round straight into the side of them, and it would have been devastating.
But what happened was, as soon as Kiartan and his sort of band of brave Navarre ran out into this opening, our line got pushed back to by which point that corridor that he'd ran down, which was only like a foot or so wide, just got cut off and overrun. It's cutting him off and his group, which was just a small... Well,
no, we tried to... That whole... We tried to charge that area.
Well, yeah, and then you were charging from the other side.
But the... As soon as we went around the corner, it was just boggy ground.
Mm.
So it became, instead of this big runway straight into their side, it became like these three individual paths.
Mm.
And it was just a... It was a non-starter.
Yeah.
So that's when things started to turn a bit south, right?
Yeah, things like, went crazy.
So I bugged out at that stage. Like, I headed back, like, back. I tried to... Everyone was pulling back, and I was encouraging people. And it got, like, pretty hairy at times.
Yeah, dude.
There were, like, people running, and it was, like, you didn't really know what was going on. And you're, like, just trying to stay, like, trying to turn as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Because you're, like, everyone else is running, and it's just, like, we could get charged down at any point. Trying to defend that, like, the last line.
Mm-hmm.
And then things kind of chilled out. I don't know, what happened to you at that stage?
So at this point, I'm with, like, the main line, because you were kind of the force that was flanking around the side. So I'm with the main line that is just rapidly retracting.
Yeah, yeah.
Rapidly retracting. And I'm, like, trying to say... bear in mind, I don't know what's happened to you or any of you guys, so I'm assuming you're okay at this point. But I know for sure Kiartan and his force are cut off deep behind lines now. So I'm trying to get people to stay.
It's literally the other side of the forest,
yeah,
right?
So I'm like... Well, I mean, I can see the spot where they are, but it's... You know, 20 meters can be a long way in LARP when you've got to fight for an enemy. And it's... They're pushing us hard and we can't hold them. And I'm trying to, like, tell people, we have to stand, we have to push back, and they're just not having any of it because we're just getting absolutely overwhelmed.
Yeah, I heard
and
people,
rightly so.
I heard someone yell about Kiartan being down. And also Brennos.
Yeah.
Brennos is down, or Brennos is cut off. Well, we'll better go back then. But the entire army had pretty much left, right?
So we've been absolutely buckled.
There was this... We'd achieved the objectives.
And we should have left long ago.
But the problem was that it was like... There was over-committing and over, like, ambition, which is a virtue, so it's not a bad thing. But it was like... and then the fact that as soon as the withdrawal had been sounded...
Yeah.
People... We were still engaging because of personal bonds, which I thought was actually beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's like... that's why things went so badly.
Yeah,
wrong.
I think we fought hard to try and get these positions back, but we just didn't have the strength to do it.
It was a glorious fucking battle, right?
So we basically just get smashed out of this area. And then we rejoin the main Empire force, which is actually back at the fort, obviously having completed all the objectives and essentially waiting for our withdrawal. And, you know, it was a long way, like, until we got back to them, just because we'd overextended so far. But, I mean, it happens. But, then I started hearing that it wasn't... That Kiartan and Brennos were definitely cut off. That Tor, who's another military leader, was cut off. I saw then Lindir and Keys and Fire, played by Good Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me that Ifana got cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And... I knew that there was no way to get back to you without immense personal risk. And it was kind of one of those things where I was like, I was really tempted. I was really tempted just to run off on my own and try and get you back. Like, and knowing that that would get me killed. Like, I was really tempted to do it, but I think I wanted to do it, right? But I just felt, as cold as it sounds, that Talos wouldn't.
Yeah.
And it was strange. Like,
right. So from here on forth, this is the story of the death of Ifan Ashbourne.
Okay, man. It's crazy.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Right, let's do it. So I had withdrawn to maybe halfway between, like, think of, like, the a big salient poking out, and, like, he is where Kjart and all of his forces are, right at the tip of it. I am about halfway between them and the main gate, right? Yeah. And there's no one there to defend the retreat, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I rally a few guys around me, and I'm like, right, we're going to like hold this line.
How big's your force at this point?
I don't know. It varied because people were coming back, retreating, and some people were joining when they saw a rally happening. So anything between like maybe 4 and maybe 12 mm-hmm. at any moment, yeah. right? Like things are fluctuating quite a lot. Yeah. Some people are staying, some people are... And basically, we start like doing some work, right?
Yeah.
We start like engaging a few people, holding the line off. And then, like I was saying, with all these tunnels, right? It funnels people.
Right.
So basically, there was a big Jotun force off to our left. And that Jotun force got shifted by something and came charging straight down our tiny little line, which was a happy little skirmish between a certain amount of people, and we're winning and having a good time. And there was just a shit ton of Jotun that suddenly appeared and started rushing through, right? So I'm like, fuck, right? Like, obviously, like, and Lindir, Lloyd's there, yeah. and we're like trying to get away. Like, at that stage, it's like, it's just carnage, right?
Right.
It's a blur in my memory because it was just so nuts. But everyone's running and charging, and then all I hear is this, cleave! It hits my leg.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, I'm pretty tough, right? I've got like 6 hit points. I'm at that point completely healed.
Yeah.
I'm gravy, right? Nothing's hit me. But cleave to my leg is me going down.
Yeah. And the thing is, with cleave, you have to sort of drop immediately, basically.
That's the rules. So you have to drop immediately. So I did the good boy thing, and I didn't try and grab anyone and hobble me off or do any of that. So I went straight down immediately in this big run. And then everyone moved away over the top of me.
Right.
Right? So there's some actually downed Navarre near me. And me, and then it's just peaceful, like immediately. I found out later, Lloyd actually got downed,
right?
But a Jotun saw how bravely he fought and did a stay with me and forced him through the lines and threw him back.
Wow, I heard about this, but like, yeah, I didn't like quite know all the details.
That's ridiculous.
That's such cool RP.
That's awesome, right?
And then like, this affected Lloyd's character kind of going on. He talked about how the Jotun fought with honor. And he actually started becoming not pro Jotun. He still sort of used them as a foe, but mm-hmm. like his respect levels for the Jotun were like massively increased. And it was kind of really interesting to like, I didn't know the context of that at the time, but to know that that was the backstory that he was going with is really cool.
That's when Ifan got anyway.
Yeah.
So so everyone's charged off, and I'm left.
Yeah.
Right.
Completely fine, except you can't move.
I can't move, right? There's people around me. And then, Beth Duna was there.
Well, she got downed as well.
No, she was being a photographer right, the whole time, right? So I was like, she went, oh, no, you're down. I was like, no, I'm cool. Let's see. Because at this stage, I'm like,
you can hustle out of this.
I'm a fan fucking Ashbourne, right? Yeah. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
And you know the worst thing as well? So before this battle, I had a bunch of potions to hand out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of offering around the group, you know, who wants to take this, who wants to take this. And I gave you some potions, but one of the potions I could have given you was the one that would cure cleave instantly. But that's not the one you took.
No. Hold on, let me get to this. You gave me a bunch of potions, right?
Yeah.
And I'm literally looking at, I've got a pocket in my shirt now. Yeah. So I was like, I put them in there. So I was looking through them.
Yeah.
And I realized that neither of them were for cleave.
Yeah.
This is one thing I'm curious about now is, can I just RP on myself and then get rid of a cleave?
No. You can. There's a skill you can have, which I think is called Relentless, which basically lets you spend a hero point to
get rid of it. Oh, that's interesting.
So
of course there is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there I am,
yeah.
Right? Lying down, surrounded by dead Navarre.
Assumed to be dead. Yeah.
And time goes by. At this stage, I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, right? Because it's like, what rules are there? So I stand up and I walk over to a referee.
Right.
I hold my hand up like, hey. I said to him, hey, I'm down because I've been cleaved, but I'm still alive. I still have 5 hit points.
Yeah.
And I'm completely fine. Right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, that's weird. And he turns to a referee who is like 10 meters away, standing right. next to a bunch of orcs. And he goes, hey, this guy's down. But he wants to know if he can, he's not down, but he's like, he's over there. And he goes, why does he just run away? And he goes, because he's got a cleaved leg. And he goes, oh, I guess he's pretty fucked then. And all these orcs are listening, and I'm like, fuck's sake. So I walk, so these orcs start walking over, and I'm like, hold on, let me go and go back to where I was at least, right? So I walked back to where I was, and I lie down again. And then there's one orc, there were two of them. One was like a lady orc slightly behind him, and then like there's one orc, and he was like this sneaky like orc, and he was telling me, oh, you Navarre scum or whatever, you Imperial Druge.
Yeah.
And he kept on like, he carried on this like long monologue about how scummy you were, and he had this knife, and he went, I'm not gonna stab you in the front, I'm gonna stab you in the back, because that's all you deserve or whatever. And he gets up behind me, and he's like right behind me, right? But I'm still alive. And there's nothing stopping me from grabbing my sword, turning around, and just going, cleave on his leg, right? So he's instantly like, ah, because I've just cut his leg off. And I start like smacking him. So both of us are then like without legs, trying to chase after each other, trying to stab each other. And he kind of like hobbles away. And this other orc comes and saves him from doing it. Like court monologuing, classic.
It was so good. Brilliant. That sounds amazing.
So I'm like, fuck, what do I do now, right? And then they're yelling about, obviously, he's a little bit upset that someone just cut his leg off. Right? So then these other group of orcs go over. I try and fight them a bit, but they just wreck me. They all come in and just start battering me, so I go down.
Right.
But I have like a 4:40 timer.
Yeah.
So those orcs all bugger off. And I'm waiting there, and then this what I can only describe as a witch type lady,
right,
she comes over, and she's like part of this like special,
like a sort of shamanistic kind of thing.
Yeah, but she's got like grey hair and like a knife.
Jesus.
And she's like waving this knife around and telling me how like I'm gonna die and like all this stuff, and like why shouldn't I kill you and all this stuff. And I just start saying like, hey, listen, a lot of people Navarre were executing people, right, executing Jotun.
Yeah.
And that's out of line, and I would never do anything like that. I executed 3 Jotun in that battle.
So you lied.
But it was better just to explain to the lady that I was a good soldier and that there was no reason to execute me. So she, I don't know why, this is weird telling it back now, because she didn't kill me.
Right.
Right? Yeah. I just carried on talking at her and her kind of like chatting to me, and she just left me alone.
Right.
Right? So I'm like, I'm still like, I'm Ifan fucking Ashborn. I've got to get the fuck out of here, right? Yeah, There's got to be a way.
Yeah.
It's got to be a way. So the entire Jotun force, it seemed like, come walking through the clearing I'm in. What's all the carry on here then? You know, all this stuff. And they come over and they're going, oh, this one's not dead. And I'm just like, they start saying to me, how do you want to die, right? And I'm like, well, why don't you get like a physic, right? And you fix me back up again and fix my leg and I'll fight all of you and we'll see how that goes, right? And they're like, we're not doing that. We're not doing that.
You're done.
They're basically asking me whether I want to die fast or slow or whatever. I don't know. I don't really get the whole thing, but and they all come and stand around me in a big group with one or the general or whatever comes forward. Yeah. And he's like, he explains to me, this is the knife that killed some general.
Yeah.
Son, and he's like explaining what this knife is and who it's killed before. And he says,
so cool.
He says to me, what is your name? And do you have any last words or whatever? And I just go, I am Ifan Ashbourne, and we will never be defeated, which is a ridiculous thing to say just before someone kills you, because obviously I am defeated. And I was thinking Ashbourne. I was going to say something about the Ashbourne, but you know,
that's just what came out.
You're surrounded by 30 people and you're doing this, and it was a lot. It was a really lot, touching yeah. moment, but it was a lot. So, and then the guy gets his knife and he stabs me in the chest, right? And I'm like, ugh! And I lean back, I die. And then he went, give him a hero's burial or whatever. So they got the sword and put it on, so the hilt was where my chin was.
Right.
And the blade put across my body, and then the shield on the side.
Wow.
Yeah, so they left me there, and then they were all like, that's like a way to go out. Oh yeah, I should mention,
so
there was a Navar next to me when I cleaved the guy's leg.
Yeah.
The Navar guy was laughing his ass off. Everyone was like, found it hilarious that I would like cleave this guy's leg. He was dead, like lying there. Like everyone, it was so fucking good. Like, it was, okay, like,
but it was so icy for Navar, right? That kind of Navar attitude of like...
Well, it was also like, I'm like...
That's what Ifan does, right?
I don't know who... Like, we all want to... I don't know. I've never been tested as a human being, whatever. We all have our life experiences. But Ifan Ashbourne was just like, nah, he's an indestructible killing machine. He has to keep going and always be up for the 1% that might actually get him out of there, you know, at all times. And it was such a great way to go out against a Jotun... Who were like...
Brought the circle of the story.
Ah, it's perfect. Anyway, so, I get up, walk back.
Yeah.
Claire Evans is there. She's like, oh, do you die? And I'm like, yeah. And she's really upset. I'm like, no, it's fine. It's fine. It was pretty good. It was a pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's about as good as a death can be, right? Like, I'm envious of that death.
And so I'm walking out of the monsters area. And... just walking next to me is Dave Kimball White, who I did the new player episode with.
Yeah.
And he's like a really, like, he's like a chill, like, kind human being, is the feeling I get off him the brief time I spent with him. But I come by and I say, oh, I died. And he goes, oh, that sucks. And he goes, yeah. I'm going, I don't know whether I should go terminal or not, right? And terminal is where you're effectively dead, but you can spend a little bit more time in Anvil and do stuff, but you can't actually do anything.
Yeah, right? So basically the rules are that at the end of the event, your character dies.
Mm.
And you can basically play as your character for the rest of the event, but you have to obviously act like you're in a terminally sort of injured state, right? And, mm-hmm. and you can't be healed. There's no game mechanic that can stop it at that point. Your character will die at the end of the event. Mm-hmm. And it's up to you when you choose for your character to actually die as well. So you were kind of deciding whether or not that was the route you wanted to go.
Yeah, I was just like, should I just leave it there, done? And I said to him, like, oh, what do you think? He just went, if you're in tall... at all unsure about it, then go terminal.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm so glad he said that because it was so good to do it that way, right? I think this is for my situation, and bear in mind all of this sounds very narcissistic now I'm telling this as a story, but it was a really great experience to do, right?
It was fantastic.
So my next course of action, I go to the medical tent, right? So I'm like, I want to look the part, right, of being all wrecked up and bloody. So I go and see the medical people. I walk in there and I'm like, and they're like, what happened? I'm just like, I was in Brachillion. I was like really delirious. And I sat down on the table and I went really quickly, like, I'm terminal.
Right.
But I need to look the part. For the next, you know, so I said, like, go fake blood crazy, right? Like I said to them, like, just go nuts. So they were like, again, they started RP and they were like, ugh! They were looking at my insides, being like, I said, so like, oh, good. I got a dagger to this chest or whatever, and they're like, oh god, and they're like trying to do all this stuff, and I was just like, give me something to make me feel better. And I was like, I kept yelling, like, give me 7 hours, give me 7 hours. I just need 7 hours. Because I thought that the Coctopus play would be in the evening, right? So I was like, so I was trying to do all this stuff. And they were like, all right, drink this. So I drank it. And they were like, I was like, what is this? And they were like, oh, it's herbs. So like it's a mix of different herbs, right? Yeah. Giving like a bit of a winky face about what might be in it. I'm like, why is it so colorful in here? Like, wow. Do you ever see that many rainbows in the sky at one time? You know what I mean? Like, be like, I was tripping balls at the time, but like, I couldn't feel any pain.
Yeah, it was so good.
So I get up, and my next call to action is to go to the Brass Coast.
Right.
There I am, there comes blood all over my face, but I'm already covered in red and black, like face paint because of the battle.
Yeah, all of it was merging together, yeah.
So I just look like this, like, ridiculous red person, head in there, and I'm just like, oh, I bumped into Lanius, by the way.
Right.
I said, Lanius.
He said he had seen you, that what happened to you.
And I was like, and I was just like dying all over the place. So I saw him. Anyway, so I get to the Brass Coast, ask around, find out where they are, and I'm just like, they're like, so I'm listening to them chat, and I'm like waiting. I'm like, waiting for a polite point of time. Like, eventually they're like, I'm looking for the Coctopus people. And they're like, oh, hi, this is, and I'm like, hi. So I explain to them that I've, you know, what time I want to play on, but I might not, you know, make it because I'm a little bit dying. You know what I mean? And they were like really nice about it. And I was just like, right. So my plan was to do with the whole Coctopus play.
Because bear in mind, we don't know that he's booked this.
Yeah, so it's
we don't know that he's booked this play to take a part.
The whole thing about it was going to be my secret surprise and be really sneaky about it.
Yeah.
So my plan was, I was going to arrange what time it was on, arrange with all of you guys to meet me at the Boar's Head.
Yeah.
And then get Tom to come running over and tell everyone I was being arrested by the militia. And that that you needed to come immediately to the Brass Coast to come and find me. Okay?
Right.
That was my plan. And then when you all rush over there, I'm sat there having cocktails in the Brass Coast ready for the thing as a surprise.
Right.
Obviously,
sounds fantastic.
Obviously dying fucked that all up.
Right, yeah.
Because what are you going to be like? What? Dead Ifan got arrested by the militia. But he's already dead. Like, what else are they going to do to him? Like, he's already... Anyway.
Yeah.
So I thought... So anyway. So I leave the Brass Coast, head back. I'm walking through the gate. And Big D is camped right near the beginning. So I just, like, slump against a tree. And I'm like, Darius! Darius! Darius looks over, man. And he's like, Ifan! And he's like, runs over and he goes, what's happening? And I said, I'm like... explain to him that I'm not gonna see tomorrow's light or whatever, you know. And he holds me over his shoulder and hands me in. Then Sol Ferron comes by and he helps me. My two Ifan's two homies help him back to his camp.
Right, and at this point we were pretty sure you were dead.
Yeah.
But visually seeing it and seeing Ben bring you in and sit you down on the chair, the rush of emotions that went through my head, right, were just like, I was so overwhelmed because it's like your character and everything your character means.
But you're like, he might be all right.
I was pretty sure you were dead immediately, just through the way it happened. But I just, it was weird. It was a mixture of noob freeze and then kind of acceptance of that maybe it's okay.
In this instance, so much like all of our game, all the stuff we talked about, it's like
so much stuff invested in Ifan as a character and Talis as well, I think, because
as the Ashborn striding, there's loads of invested, right?
Yeah,
a character. Oof.
Like, looking, I keep thinking, should I have like been like really emotional and run over or whatever? And like,
no, I think everyone.
I think it actually worked out well, and I think it especially worked out well because you delivered the awesome information.
I was pretty like happy about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, because it was more like, so my character, I'll talk about him in detail now, seeing that he's dead, right? Like, why not? So he has this, like we talked about it earlier, but like the idea that he'd been married, found the love of his life, got married, and then she'd been taken away from him. He had been a rapscallion before.
Yeah.
Fell in love, straightened himself out, was living a really happy life, a really accepting life.
Yeah.
And then was taken away because a briar went nuts and killed his wife.
Right.
Right, which he then killed.
Yeah.
And burnt. Fucking briars. But then seeking to join her on the labyrinth, but to try and catch up with her because of how virtuous she was.
Yeah.
He needed to die in an extremely virtuous way. So when it came down to scouting in Hordaland or whatever to try and, you know, beat the Jotun.
Yeah.
That was a great way to die.
Yeah, he signed up for it.
But while he was out there,
yeah,
he found scattered alone other lost souls and they formed the Ashborn.
Yeah.
And that's like, he's like integral to the identity of the Ashborn as well, right?
Yeah, there's a sort of a backstory with your character that we have that is kind of pseudo-religious, let's just say, and how your character and my character met that we kind of have in part of the backstory for the Ashborn. And it's interesting having that element of your character because it sort of, it kind of always made this kind of like slightly special thing about your character.
Mm-hmm.
So to lose you was like, yeah, it was such a crazy rush of emotions and I really, really enjoyed it.
The guys were like all RP'd. It was really, really good. Had the Sparrow come over.
So funny.
And he just goes, what do you say? He says, silly sausage.
Yeah, he did. He
said, and
he
then headbutted me.
Yeah.
And it was so touching, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Sparrow's like just a fantastic guy.
It was like it was a really nice. Yeah. I don't know, for a few words and a headbutt, it was extremely emotional.
Yeah,
and
I think our characters aren't big in any way, right? We're not like major characters.
Well, you're the hero of Brokeleon.
But okay,
I don't know what you're talking about. But
like, you know, we're not like sort of nationwide known people. Or whatever, no. Or such, but there are people who know us, and some of those, you know, the fact that those people, have story
the,
with us,
the
is
people
amazing.
We know, like and respect us,
yeah,
right, and that's like a really nice thing.
They're so nice, like everyone's so nice, and you get this little great. Group of people who you
it's,
can say hello
dude,
to and interact
it's
with.
So like straight after this,
yeah,
we go off to the national standing. They read my name out because you guys reported me dead, which is totally fine. But it was like, I went, oh, I'm not quite dead yet. And I went like, ask me tomorrow and you'll find me a grave man. Which is a nice little Romeo and Juliet shout out there. But she's got a snigger, just shows the audience at a LARP event. But yeah, so that was interesting. But it was like, we lost a few other really key people at that battle. And it was like,
Losing Kiartan and Brennos and Tor. And there was all like there were rumors.
I think
Brennos
survived, actually.
I'm pretty sure he went terminal and died. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, really?
That's why I heard. That's the last I heard. If I'm wrong, then.
Hey, we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. But yeah, I mean, these are big, important people in the nation. Like, and.
Yeah, what's interesting is, like, how do they fit back into the nation? Like, we know who they are as people.
Yeah.
How do they choose to RP? How much of their own personal
character is just who they are, right?
How you can't like care that much about like a nation and then not like step up because no one else is.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if that's within your DNA and blood and your spirit, then it's like you're going to step up. You're going to do those things. So I'm really curious to see how things work out. And bear in mind, the fucking lucky second.
Yeah.
Right? After she was going to step up to being a general and lead all the... She got fucking murdered on Saturday as well.
Yeah.
At Brokeleond.
I know. We lost so many
people.
Oh,
it was...
The whole military leadership.
The whole military leadership wiped out in one massive go.
The worst part about it is, as well, knowing that they probably died for nothing. Like, we'd already completed the objective, and a lot of them probably died after we'd completed the objective.
Most definitely.
And it's, like, fantastic people. And it's so weird to talk about, because it's all obviously, you know, my brain's saying this is all OC. Like, you know, but, like, the IC thing, they are just, like, fantastic warriors of the Empire.
It's
were spent on a cause at a point where it didn't need to be done.
One thing I did when I was dying was I bumped into people and I would give them vodka or whatever. I had loads of vodka to trade as well. I sold a bunch of stuff, by the way. It went a lot better. But I gave a shitload of it away to people. Like the runner who fought with me when I was looking after the flank, I gave him one. To the lady that runs the Songs of the Storytime, I gave her one. Who else? There's a bunch of people I basically went up to and I gave away like the stuff because I was like, but it was so nice, like being like, I'm terminal. These are just showing Ifan's like final, like whatever. But there was also a huge element of, because the play wasn't on till 5.
Yeah, although at first, because you came back, I think like 3:30-ish. So it was a bit of time to wait between.
I can't remember what time it was.
I mean, yeah, but there wasn't that long to wait, but there was enough time where it was a certain length of time. So at first we thought we weren't really going to, you know, we could just go and do something else and then head up or meet up at the play. But actually we just got talking and just got kind of role playing with each other.
I didn't know what to, like, for me personally, I didn't know what to do. Because I was like, I was kind of like, meh. But also I was exhausted because of the whole.
It's a lot.
All of that was like. It was awesome,
yeah.
But it was like the end of my RP for that weekend,
yeah.
Right, like we'll get to that. Let's move on. Let's do the play, right? So rally up, bunch of people, all friends of ours, and we go to the play in the Brass Coast, and I absolutely drop some coin,
yeah.
Because I want it to be the absolute
and these. These people were just amazing. Okay, so bear in mind, and
but, we, I know let's talk about the people that we were there with, right? So the whole Stridings there, we had Tom, Robert, the guys from the Boar's Head.
Yeah, Sparrow was there, wasn't
he? Sparrow there, yeah. It was just awesome.
It was just
all of our like people that were like we were friends with, and everyone else. And the people that weren't there were people that had to go off and fight, right? Yeah. Like Sol had to go off and fight.
I think Jordan was with us as well. I think so.
God, there was a bunch of us.
There's a bunch of us.
I honestly kept my head down so much because I was supposed to be dying.
Yeah.
And also, I was trying to do it so the closer we got to the end of the play, the more dying I was.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, and I gave you, just before the play started, I gave you an item, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. So, Ifan's got this kind of necklace that you had made last event. So, it was kind of... You kind of passed that on with the idea of giving it on to whoever kind of followed on from you.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. So it was like something...
Yeah, but I said it like, who's deserving of it?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's like, I wanted to throw in a little bit of RP to be like, let's see if Dave, because it probably would be Dave, right? Dave, right?
Yeah.
Steps up and actually fulfills like his duties, right?
Yeah.
And you can do that. And it'll be a nice RP moment.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cool. Like, and... Yeah, then we just stepped into this play. And bear in mind, I think it's really important to say... the weather is something we've not really talked about yet. But at this point, everything is very muddy. Everything is very difficult. Like, putting on a play as well as these guys did, which was exceptional. And all of the stuff they did for us was exceptional.
It was amazing.
Like, absolutely incredible.
Okay,
and then on top of all that, they've got to do that in bad weather. I full incredible
we
respect.
Had, we had a drink service...
Yeah.
And food service. Cake. So we had cake and treats, and they just kept pouring tiny glasses with booze.
Yeah.
And then just handing the bottle over because we'd paid so over the odds for the experience that they were really happy to fucking help us out.
It was so really good. Happy.
So it's just like, but also Navarre in the Brass Coast.
Yeah.
Like all these lovely bright fabrics and everything, and these. Dirty, smelly
Navarre
covered in blood and hell, like throwing up blood and dropping kidneys all over the place. Just the that it was just so good having the basically I drank a shitload, right? Yeah. Like I stopped at the Boar's Head before as well, and they plied me full of drinks, and it's just like it was great. But honestly, I wish some of that was water rather than actual booze, right? It was great to do it icy, but at the same time, it was like, fucking wasted. But the
the play was so good.
The play was so good.
So I mean, we won't spoil it. I think because in a sense, you probably should just.
Now you
see
should
it.
Pay a few, like a meager amount of money, and go and get an awesome first front. It's, I sat at the front, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. And that this performance was just for us, like all the people attending, yeah. And which was a reasonable group of people. But the fact that you, if Van Ashbourne, had paid to make this happen, it was so good.
Like, and it was an early like ambition.
Yeah,
to try and do this.
Well, I said before, I think it is basically our first ambition as a Striding, when it was just you, me, and Bungle.
Yeah,
that's probably the first thing we ever came across of RP that we wanted to achieve.
Yeah,
was to see this.
It was
play.
After getting knocked back from not stepping up.
Yeah, all of that, and you then you got offered this chance to sort of see a play.
It's fantastic. And then so basically we got to the end of the play. It's hilarious.
So good,
and I shuffle off this mortal coil just in the final but the problem is, like, that sounds really poetic, but it's hilarious.
The play is so, so funny.
I'm giggling and they're like, is he dead? And they start like pushing me and shoving me, and then they get the coctopus
and they're seeing if they can like bring him back to life using the coctopus. And of course you start cracking up, and then everybody starts saying he's convulsing in his death. And then you went to applaud, and of course you naturally just applauded just because it was all so good, but you were dead. And then we had to kind of explain that why you were clapping though you were dead. It was so good, just because the whole play was so good and everything.
I wanted
around
it to
it.
Be like a poignant end, but honestly they were so good and it was so funny. It was the best way to die ever.
I think it's like, I'm super jealous. Like, how I die is not.
It's never
just
gonna
not
be,
gonna beat that.
It's
like, that
never
is
gonna be that good again. It's never. I'm never gonna die like that again. It had a full character arc.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if Van Ashbourne started here, he went through this here. I joined the character here. He went through this while he was here, and then he died in that way.
Yeah.
And it's just the death of a fawn of Navarre. That's all it is.
So good,
just
dude.
Another one gone. But it was just like, I'm so glad. But at the same time, creating a new character and all that stuff, like, absolutely sucks dick.
Yeah.
It sucks so much fucking dick. It's like, so I create the character.
Yeah.
After that.
Yeah.
I foolishly named it
Brienne, wasn't it? Yeah.
So I wanted a really boring name, because I was going to have a generic character that was going to kill off immediately as soon as I was like at the end of the event.
Yeah.
And I thought, Brian, that's a nice middle of the road name, that's unforgettable. And I went, that's not very Navarre. Brienne?
Yeah.
I don't know if everyone's aware that's listening, but there is a TV show that was fairly popular called Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And there was a character on that TV program called Brienne of Tarth.
Yeah. And we just, I guess we just kept...
Everyone did. Yeah. Anyone that met me. Brienne. Like Brienne of... Oh, shut the fuck up. I made a huge mistake in giving myself that name.
But no, it was... I think it was really interesting for you, because you basically went to being essentially like a bit of a viewer of the whole experience from then on out, right, when you took on this new character, because you didn't really RP that much as this
at all
character.
In fact, I avoided it when people were asking. Like, it was, it just felt a bit kind of not it put me in an awkward situation that I didn't it was still fun because I was at Empire, but I was no longer an active force in the world.
Yeah.
And that I really missed that.
I think fortunately though, by the time this whole element of it had played out, it was getting quite late on the Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So, and generally speaking, things tend to sort of follow set courses, you know, go to songs and stories.
But we
and
had
stuff.
Like, I had, I don't want to go into it now talking about it, but like, there's a couple of things that I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it put the brakes on things.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the death was amazing.
Yeah.
But character loss is a very real thing, and it's like,
yeah,
I'm
definitely.
Still like, let me put it this way, I haven't done my new character yet.
Yeah,
right?
I think you just need
time
to think
they've
about
extended
it.
The downtime, so
yeah.
I want to do it before
tomorrow. Yeah,
something we should maybe talk about maybe off
yeah.
off mic, but yeah, It's a lot, dude. I'm straight back there. I'm like trying to write that thing out. It's tough.
It's tough, man. Like how you want to fit into the story, you know, what you want.
All I know is I want to be more like lighthearted.
Right.
I want to be a little bit more of a risk taker.
Yeah.
Right. I want to maybe go a little bit against the grain occasionally. Yeah. Right. Like it's kind of fun doing it at first, but then if loads of people are being like, you know.
But I think the other really important thing is that through you dying and you having this sort of this kind of leadership role in our striding, your death opens up, of course, the opportunity for someone else to take that position.
Yeah.
And it obviously wouldn't really work if you just stepped in as another character and took it again.
No.
So it had to be somebody else.
Also, I don't want it anyway, right? Yeah. It's kind of fun to see how
someone else takes it.
Was that there's a computer game called 1 Hour Life, right?
Yeah.
Where whole game is like a top-down view. You spawn into a world as a baby.
Yeah.
And that baby is looked after by another person who is another player online.
Yeah.
Right? And each life is 1 hour long. Yeah. Right? And there are certain servers where, you know, you try and survive a lot of the times, but other servers, they try and build up some sort of mythos on the server, right? So each time someone's born, they try and do something to try and keep on a tradition.
Sure.
That's kind of the same feeling I have towards the Ashbourne of having new characters come in and lead right?
So
because me and you basically talked it through, came up with a bunch of stuff. You created most of the back framework for it, right? Then maybe, what if you die next?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't want to be the Chronicle of Woes again.
Exactly.
And I think, like, my one would maybe... I don't know who would want to do my position. Mm-hmm. I have... You know, I think there's people who'd be really good at it, and I think most, like everyone in our group, would be good at it, to be honest. Yeah.
Watch your back, motherfucker.
Bam, bam.
Bam, bam.
No, but I think that would be really interesting to see who would take my role. And I'm really interested to see what Good Dave does, being the new Ash Keeper. And it gives him an opportunity to step up into the game. And it's going to be, like before, like you and me, we talk a fair bit OC sometimes about what we're going to do in our leadership role. And then we'll kind of, I see that out a bit as well.
I feel now it's more like there's a structure and framework to our striding. Like before, our striding was something very metaphysical.
Yeah.
Now it's a much more of a real thing, right? Like, it sounds very abstract, but it's like, I think people are playing within that, right? Like,
so over the course of role playing, you're essentially building on those architectural drawings you made for what your striding will be, and you know, slowly but surely you're building the sort of the house of what that is.
Oh, did you just drop a metaphor of building a house here?
No, so I think, like, yeah, it's been really, really cool in that sense, and I think that's gonna be really interesting to interact with Good Dave about things in the future.
Do you know what we should do? We should take a break,
right,
and then come back and try and
finish Saturday and go into Sunday.
Chop off the edge of that and then...
Yeah. I think it's a natural break. I think, like, your death was such a massive...
How narcissistic is it, though? Like, I had to think about this afterwards. Like coming back as, like, critical, right? Yeah. I think this was worthwhile.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever do it again. In terms of that.
In terms of what?
But... It just felt like...
Are you talking about LARP? Or are you talking about...
Just like LARP. Coming back after you've died and making a big fuss of your own death.
Yeah.
Like that's a... It's an interesting choice.
I think that's almost not your... Like the thing that makes your death a big thing is the fact that all of the characters around you respond to it.
Mm.
And I think that's the pursuit in LARP is essentially in some way, whatever it is that you're doing, you want to have an impact on the world around you. And that... impact you have on us, and you make us want to, you know, celebrate your life as a character, right?
Mm.
And it's actually not really, it's about you, and it's about our recognition of you and the things that you've put in IC and OC, but it's also for us an ability to explore our own characters and let them grow, and you know, so I think actually if your characters, I think anybody's going to make a fuss over a fellow character member dying. And I think especially if that character has some mythos around them, and some sort of backstory, and has emotional links to the people that are, who are around them.
I think going forward, like, I see where I'm at. Like, if Anne was like such a, like, I genuinely miss him.
Yeah.
Gutted, I think, he's dead.
I think there was a really interesting thing of the fact that if Anne, and I think maybe, you know, Talis to a certain extent for me, it's actually quite close to who I am as a person. There's a lot of me in Talis.
Yeah, totally.
And Talis has certain points and things that he does that I kind of exaggerate, basically.
Yeah, it's an exaggerated, forced out point of view.
Yeah, right, exactly, right. So, and there's the whole thing of purposefully picking suboptimal options to advance game. And I really enjoy that. I've always enjoyed that as a part of the mechanism of roleplay.
Also, I would say, like, dare I say, I've changed a lot in the last couple of years since Ifan was incepted and grown.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's only been a year, right?
No, but even, but we've thought about it
before. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a long time, right?
Yeah, it is a long time. A year is a long time. It's, and, like, I think both of us being involved in LARP and doing everything we have, I think it's opened our eyes to things, and in a such a good way.
But what I'm saying is that your character, like I feel like my personality has outer limits of where my character can be. Right, like I won't be able to play. I won't be able to play. Like, who knows what's like in the future? But right now, there's like limits on how far, like. Like, I thought about, like, changing my accent or doing something different for my next character, right? There's a lot of stuff that you have to think about where you're like, man, am I going to get sick of this shit? Like, immediately? Do I want to kill my own character?
Yeah. And like, I think there's also, you have to decide how much risk and how difficult you want that journey to be for yourself. And that's completely fine if you're not ready to go completely, you know, I'm going to have some crazy accent and I'll be this, you know, completely immersive all the time. You don't have to suddenly do that. You know what I mean? You can just, whatever you want, you can be. And I think you'll probably end up altering it slightly after the event anyway.
Yeah. We're running out of time. There's so much more I want to talk about. It's like, should you just run away if you want to keep your character alive? That's a big question.
Well, I think we'll get to sort of rules and things like that in the next one.
My goodness.
Yeah, it's a lot. Right. There's still a lot to go through for Saturday and Sunday. It's a big one, but this has been a really, really interesting and special
event. Isn't it interesting how we're already talking about stuff where we haven't just been out skirmishing? Like, we tried to go skirmishing on Friday, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But all this, it's a lot of things to think about and a lot of things to kind of like experience.
Right? This is the heaviest we've ever RP'd, right? And I think that that's something really we've only just scratched the surface of.
Alright, cool. Join us next time for next time. Other things.
What a wonderful looking vessel. She's a bluff bow, lovely lines. She's a fine sea lift, weatherly, stiff and fast. Very fast on the looks of things, if she's well handled. Shame that thuggish looking chap Derek is coming with us. There's something a little off about that guy. Well, maybe I'm just being paranoid.